The 109th District in the Michigan House of Representatives covers the majority of Marquette County, as well as all of Alger, Luce, and Schoolcraft counties. Today on Media Meet, we'll hear from the two major party candidates seeking to represent the district in Lansing. We'll hear from Democrat incumbents Representative Sarah Cambenzi of Marquette and Republican challenger Melody Wagner of Gwinn. A 109th District Michigan House of Representatives candidate forum is up next here on WNMU's Media Meet. Hello and welcome to WNMU's Media Meet. I'm your host, Walt Lindela. Coming up in just a few moments, we'll hear from Melody Wagner, who is running in this race on the Republican ticket. But first, we are joined in the studio by Democrat incumbent Representative Sarah Cambenzi. Welcome.
Thank you.
Let's start with some basic information. Tell me a little bit about yourself and why you are running and what are some of the key issues that you're hoping to address.
Sure. I'm born and raised here, a lifelong Youper in the Upper Peninsula. I come from a father who is an engineer and a small business owner, and a mother who is a union nurse. Prior to my election in this seat, I worked for the public schools for 10 years as the adult and community ed director, and I also served 10 years in local government. So I was appointed to the Planning Commission, elected as a charter commissioner, and then spent 5 years as a city commissioner in Marquette.
What are some of those issues that are looking to be addressed by you as you are running?
I think infrastructure is a big thing I hear in all of my districts. Mental health is also another one of those issues that people feel strongly about, and they feel that, you know, our state has kind of left those people behind, and so they'd like to see more done with that. Education is a big one. The cost of college education, as well as, you know, are we putting enough money into our public schools to make sure our kids are prepared for the 21st century?
Well, let's get into some of these issues a little bit more in depth. Roads across Michigan are widely considered to be in poor shape by many. Recently, the state legislature did take some steps to address the issue. Do you agree with what state legislators and Governor Snyder have done so far with the roads?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that I want to, you know, give our governor credit for is he pulled together a task force to kind of look at our 21st century infrastructure needs. And how far behind are we? And we know right now that we're about $4 billion per year behind in keeping up with, you know, our roads, our bridges, water and sewer mains. And, you know, how are we going to come up with that money? Mm-hmm. I think Michiganders have been taxed enough personally, whether it's, you know, the gas tax, license plate fees. So that really isn't an option that I see out there to kind of deal with this. I think we have to look at the fact that, you know, right now we're the 48th lowest as a state in corporate taxes. So very low corporate taxes. I think we can go back and, you know, take some more of that $1.6 billion tax cut every year and bring that to the table. Mm-hmm. I also think that, you know, we are pretty low in our income tax. We're about 15th lowest in all of the United States. And so if we look at going back and putting another 0.25% on the income tax, right away, that would give us another $1.5 billion to put towards infrastructure.
It can be an uphill battle to get something like that done. How would you make that happen?
Yeah, I think we've seen federal tax cuts right now. And, you know, the flow through from the federal government back to our states for things like drinking water improvement, you know, water, sewer, bridges, roads, hasn't been coming back. So I think this would be something that going to the taxpayers and saying, you know, it's about an average of, you know, $20 a month for each person. Is that worth it to you to kind of have a little bump in our income taxes, get up in the middle of the pack with all the other states, and really make those investments like we see in Wisconsin and Minnesota?
Are there any changes that you would look to implement in road funding formulas beyond what you've already proposed if you were elected?
I think the one thing right now, if we don't move in getting more money set aside for infrastructure, they're going to start coming after the funding that we have in the UP. And right now, the formula is based off of square miles. And so having a third of the land mass in the UP, we get about 13% of, you know, the road funding and 3% of the population. So right now, when money's tight, that's a rub with a lot of my colleagues downstate. And I think right now, we just need to make sure we protect that money. Because I think people are always looking to kind of steal that money when theirs isn't coming in.
When we look at jobs in the 109th District, they come from multiple sources, logging and mining, tourism, education, state services. What are your thoughts about maintaining and increasing those jobs here in the 109th?
Yeah, I think, you know, technology within the mining and timber industry, I'm not sure if we can, you know, fully increase jobs in those industries, but I certainly think we can hold on to the jobs we have. Mm-hmm. As we have new mines that may want to come on board, certainly reopening the Empire Mine is a big focus and something that I think has a bright future, whether it's in the next year or a few years down the road. But I really think that having these pillars in our communities across the UP, we also have a lot of tourism. We also have a lot of entrepreneurs. And with technology, with the internet, being able to live where you want to live and work from home, I think we're going to see a lot more people coming in and balancing out the natural resource side of our economy with jobs and, you know, more of technology and entrepreneurship.
So you would see certain sectors maybe that you would look at more than others?
Yeah, and I think that we can't forget about our mining and timber industry, especially when we look at our paper mill in Munising that's making, you know, medical grade, you know, paper and products that come out of there that, you know, it's not just your typical paper and things that people typically think of.
As we move to the issue of education in the district, it's considered to be underfunded by many, by the state legislature, that there's not enough money going to the schools. Do you feel that state funding formulas are adequate for K through 12 schools in Michigan?
You know, I think that some schools get a bigger bump than others. You know, all of my districts are at the average per pupil funding level. And I think if we can get every school on a level playing field, that's one thing. Mm-hmm. But I also think since 2012, we've been transferring money out of our K-12 school aid fund for our universities and community colleges. And that was money we typically paid for out of the general fund. Mm-hmm. So this year, when we look at a $240 increase per pupil for our K-12 students, that's great. But if we didn't transfer that money out to our universities, we would have had another $600 per pupil. And I think that's catching us up. And to me, the money's there. It's just that we're now starting to take more of it out and pay for things at our university level that we used to pay for out of our general fund.
What would you have in a plan for K through 12 funding if elected back to Lansing, in your specific plan?
Yeah, I think, you know, my big focus is to make sure that all of that funding goes towards schools. You know, we're not giving a transfer out to our universities, that we actually make that investment, and we think it's important enough to have some of our general fund dollars. You know, I think that's the biggest thing that we can do right off the bat. That would put another $2.7 million into the Market Area Public Schools. So when you start to look at, you know, what does that mean? Now we're catching up to the national average that other states are spending, but we're also giving enough of a bump that, you know, if we're going to go out and fix our water, you know, drinking fountains and that in schools, that they have enough money to do that with that per pupil increase.
You were mentioning higher education. How about the funding formulas for higher education for the public universities in Michigan? What are your thoughts on that and plans you would have?
Yeah, I think right now we're kind of putting that on the back burner as a state. And a lot of that has fallen on the students. And, you know, we've basically flipped the formula where, you know, the state has invested the traditional amount of, you know, up to 70% of tuition and costs. Now that's falling on the students. And a lot of students are saying, is it worth it for me to go to college? Mm-hmm. Can I get out and work? Can I go into the trades or something else where I don't have all that debt? So I think if we're going to be a state that attracts high-tech industry, we saw it with Amazon. You know, they thought it was attractive to come to Michigan in terms of location. Mm-hmm. We didn't have the skilled workforce for them, you know, to put in place. And I think that was a message that we should all look at and say, we're not doing enough, whether it's our two-year colleges or our four-year colleges, to train our workforce.
Let's move to energy issues here in Upper Michigan and in the 109th District. What are the biggest energy issues that are facing this part of the UP, in your opinion?
I think we're still dealing with reliability. So do we have the transmission lines coming in from, you know, the Lower Peninsula as well as Wisconsin to, you know, kind of give us that double coverage? you know, generation is also something where you're seeing a lot of generation get away from coal and going to natural gas. But what we haven't seen come on the table yet are a lot of the wind and solar projects that, you know, could help balance that out and certainly add, you know, not our full load, but complement our load and diversify our portfolio.
One of the issues facing the Upper Peninsula and a lot of Michigan is keeping young people here upon graduation, that they want to go somewhere else to find work that they don't perceive as here. What would you do, and why do you feel that is happening, but what would you do to address those reasons why young people are leaving the state?
Yeah, I think, you know, the per capita income, what a household earns, what a person contributes, you know, we're on the low end. So Michigan hasn't recovered in terms of wages. Mm-hmm. I think that's one thing that's pulling people away. With the UP, I feel like we have a four-season wonderland. I feel like a lot of people want to go away at first and want to come back. But, you know, right now we haven't created kind of an atmosphere where they feel like they can come back and actually get ahead, pay down their student loans, have a job that pays well, and survive here. So I think, you know, we need to look at what types of jobs are we investing in. We can have low unemployment rates, but it doesn't tell us how well people are doing. And I think one place Michigan lacks is just, what are we paying people and what is the job market here in terms of good jobs?
Let's flip that around and talk about senior services and programs for seniors. Is there enough access for senior services, and that's beyond Medicare and Medicaid, but into other services for our seniors?
Yeah, I think when our local units of government that typically, you know, have senior programs, have a senior center, are struggling because they have to go to the community and ask for, you know, extra road funding or extra money for our schools, there's less and less money to kind of offer programs for our seniors. And I think at the county level, there, you know, our counties are struggling to really say, do we have a strong, you know, Meals on Wheels program? Do we have a program where we can offer services for, you know, healthcare providers to go in and talk about nutrition and, you know, prescription drug coverage and all of that? And we don't have enough money right now to invest in those social workers to go out and work with our populations.
Would you call for more?
Seniors.
Would you call for more in the funding from the state level?
I would. And one thing we're not doing is, you know, right now we're matching our Medicaid dollars with only another dollar. Mm-hmm. But I think that Michigan could certainly step that up a bit. Other states are doing it. Minnesota's up to almost, you know, $2 per every dollar they get from the federal government. You know, Michigan is keeping that at an even playing field, but I think there is going to be a time when we have to step up and say, we need more.
Well, we've got about a minute left here before we wrap up this portion of the program, and I'd like to give you the opportunity for closing remarks or your comments as why vote for Sarah Cambenzi?
Yeah, I would say my experience, just having the local elected official experience, and now, you know, my first year in this office, there is going to be an opportunity for me to step up into some leadership positions and, you know, really be an advocate for the UP. And I think that, you know, my strength in public service, basically my entire life coming into this job, you know, I understand what's important. I understand prioritizing, you know, the needs and what we need first and really what the taxpayers want their tax dollars to go towards. And I feel like I have a good understanding, and I'll be a fighter.
How can they find out more about your campaign?
Yep, at my website, electsarahcambenzi.com, on Facebook, same thing.
Yep. And look for it there.
And look for it there.
All right. Well, that's about all the time we have for at this moment for this portion of the program. I would like to thank 109th District incumbent State Representative Sarah Cambenzi for joining us today on the program. Stay tuned. This 109th District State Representative Candidate Forum will continue with Republican challenger Melody Wagner here on Media Meet.